Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
Welcome to Slamfire Radio, episode 570, recording live on August 28th, 2024. I'm your host, Adriel.
I'm another host, Kyle.
I'm another one, Kelly. All right, here we are.
I'm also here, Dustin.
I just figured I'm going to find Adriel just in the list, and I'm going to keep going through.
No, heck of the order. Just jump in.
Hi, everybody.
Let's get into what we did in Gens this week. Maybe I'll start. I'll start us off here. I actually did quite a bit. Yeah. One, I parted out my WS MCR and put it up for sale. I got some good interest on the upper and lowers for that thing. So those are likely to be moving pretty quick here. Pulled the trigger out last show and put it in my Raven. I should probably test it with that new trigger, hey?
Yeah.
I should probably do that. I have a couple of big matches coming up next month. Two big matches.
Test there. Yeah, like just
I should probably do that.
Just do it live. Do that.
Live on the air? As long as it goes click, it's fine, right?
Well, I meant live at the match.
At the match. that would frustrate me, so I'm probably going to shoot it before then.
That's good.
Anyways, MCR is up for sale. I went and did a Maple Seed in Bonneville. That was good. I had really bad acid reflux that day, but I had some good instructors with me that helped out with taking a lot more calling and that kind of thing. And they had some ringers that they brought. They brought a bunch of IPSC shooters, and they did really well. I didn't have a big group. Most of them patched. Most of them got their rifleman patch. And it was kind of funny because it's been a while since I've had a ringer group. I had a ringer group at Sherwood Park. Ooh, maybe... Jeez, it's hard with COVID. It might even be pre-COVID, but a bunch of like ORPS shooters, and they smashed it. Like they absolutely smashed it. There was a bunch of guys there. They brought their gamer rigs and they were there to play, and their safety was good and their performance was good. Like as soon as you add on the instruction, they're like, oh, look at all that loop sling. I like it. And then they get down behind the rifle and it's like, holy crap. They're nailing it. And this was very similar to that. These IPSC shooters were their safety was really good and their results were really good. They started the morning off. They had sighted in rifles. Their morning was good. Their afternoon was fantastic. Just leaps and bounds improvements. And they lasted the whole day too. Like that's one thing that's happened at some of my recent Maple Seeds is a lot of people can't make it through the whole day. It's too hot or it's too much and they just can't like last. But this crew, they all lasted and they were like improving as they were getting through the day. And that's another thing that happens is sometimes people start getting worse and worse because of just the weathering. They get weathered.
But you can also get in your head too, right? Once you start doing poorly.
Yeah, the mental game with IPSC shooters, I would assume would be better. They would be better at just, you know, following those fundamentals and keeping in their bubble and that kind of thing. And it was good. And then I went and shot some gophers and I did a couple of things that were really stupid just before that. I brought my 17 HMR with no scope on it. I mounted a scope. I'm like, I think I used this scope on this gun last, so it should be sighted in. I didn't. So I tried sighting it in on the gopher field, which I can do. I can sight guns in fast, but on a gopher field, like you need to be within an inch at 100. Yeah. Like you can't be off an MOA. And I was off an MOA all the time. So, that was a mistake. I should have brought that thing and sighted in on paper because 17 HMR is supposed to be one shot, one kill on gophers. And I was sending a couple and be like, oh man, it's to the left. It's still to the left. What's going on here? Right. So that was a pain. So I went to my 22 and the 22. Last time I was at the range, I was like, you know what? Most of the grouse I see are right around 10 meters. Why don't I set it in for 10 meters? Well, because with a scoped rifle, if you sight it in for 10 meters, it's not good for anything else. And if you shoot far on a gopher at, and you're sighted in for 10 meters, you're aiming like 6-8 inches underneath that thing to hit the gopher, which is kind of funny. So it's kind of funny. Like I'm an experienced shooter. I've been shooting for a long time. I made two like huge boneheaded mistakes in the same week. And I got to feel the pain the same day. It was, love it. Big learning moment. I haven't had like a big learning moment like that for a long time where it's been like, holy crap, I'm so stupid. And I had it. It was great. So I'm going to be taking those guns back to the range. I'll talk about that in a little bit. Okay, so I came back and made some more Baldwin blanks. That's fully loaded 9mm rounds. Yeah.
That was funny.
I stole that from somewhere. I saw Baldwin blanks. I'm like, yes, I'm taking that. That's if even I reload, I'm just going to call them Baldwin blanks. So I got a 1,000 hollow point bullets from Tenda, I think, Campros. And I loaded those all up. I loaded some of them up a little bit spicy for hunting the deer. So I put them up to plus P, and I assume this FPC will just take it. I don't care if it won't, because I'm going to put it through it anyways. And I'm going to also sight it in with the spicy ammo to see
on the deer, right?
Spicy?
Maybe that, or you know, maybe this. I don't know. I should probably put a poll up. That's what I should do. Should I shoot a deer with a 300 blackout or a 9mm PCC? Well, that's really what I should do.
I'd love to see it with a 9mm.
I would like to. So on body or on head? Like I know I can take it out with a headshot, but on body?
Body? I don't know.
A little bit of double tap. Should work. I don't know.
Bill, drill the deer.
Bill drill the deer. That'd be fun. Yeah. We'll see. We'll find out. I went to Cabela's. So I needed a Enfield mag for one of my PAL rifles because the feed lips broke off the last one and it wasn't feeding properly. And you can't just fix that. So Cabela's has $50 pro mags. I went and picked one of those up, and on the way over I was like, I think they got a sale on some percussion calf rifles. I'm not gonna tell the story right now, but it was a gong show trying to get this percussion rifle. They're like, that's not a thing. I'm like, yeah it is, you sell it. And they're like, I don't think so, maybe go check over there. They don't have it over there. Maybe check over here. No, I don't have it over there. I think we're out of those. I'm like, no, you're not. I see on the website you have limited stock. So they checked on the computer. Oh, yeah, we have some in the back here. I'm like, yeah, it should be in a blister pack. And like, I've never seen those before. I'm like, you've got them. And they did.
Love when you know they're stock. I've
never seen one of those things before. That's what it looks like.
That's kind of cool.
Oh, that's cool.
DIY. Some assembly required, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, they had them on sale.
That's cool.
And they're like, I don't know. Do I need to put this through as a gun? I'm like, yes, it's a gun. Here's my PAL. There's a serial number on there somewhere. I don't know. There's a serial number on there, though. Go take it and do the thing. So
How much is that?
$479. If you buy a fully assembled percussion cap, it's like $800-$900. If you buy that one, it's $479. Some assembly required. Not much, though. Not much.
I like a little assembly. And
well, you put your own personal touch on it.
If you like woodworking, you'll like that. Because it's just a little bit, not a lot, just a little bit. Most of the things are fitted really nicely. The butt pads are already fitted. Most of it will fit. You just need to do a little bit of sanding here and there, staining. And then you have to finish the barrel. So you can do like a cold blue, or you can do a rust blue, or barbecue paint, or truck bed liner.
Yeah.
Yeah. A pink spray paint is also like an option.
You're giving me great ideas. These are all great ideas.
I saw, you know, one thing I saw with one of these things is someone had modded one to put an air buffer tube adapter on it and, and made like a tactical percussion kit. Well, if you're going to do that, you might as well get the cheap, crappy kit, right?
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Put a fore end on there, like a quad rail.
Oh, yes. Oh, no, 100%. I'll put the light on the whole nine yards. It'll be great.
Yeah. Oh. Just a night here. I hit up Wild West with my neighbor Nate, and I picked up. Okay, so I've got my kid's gun belt, uses one of these double alpha links, which the advantage with that is you just like you pound the link out and you add a new one every time they get bigger. It got too big, so I needed some more links. So Wild West sells these things individually, $2 a pop. I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, because otherwise I got to get them from the US, right? So I picked up a couple of those. And what else? Tomorrow I'm going to hit up the range. I'm going to resight in that 17 HMR properly. So it's because it's like deadly accurate. I just need it sighted in. I need it like actually accurately. 100% to the quarter inch has to be proper because gophers are small.
Yep.
I'm going to resight in my 22 for a proper distance. Not 10 yards, maybe 25, and you know, just be okay with the other stuff. Set in the FPC, and there's one other I can't remember. Oh yeah, my kid wants to use his GSG on the grouse, so I'll be making sure that thing's fully sighted in. I also need to figure out how to get a sling on it because we're gonna be like hiking, and I assume he's gonna get tired and be like, "Do you carry this?" And I'm like, "No way." So they don't come with sling mounts on them.
No, yeah, you're right.
I figured the best way to do that is super tactical.
Nope, they don't.
Put a mag pull, like push button on the corner there and get a single point sling and bam.
That's a great idea.
Now you've got this thing like ready
to rock. Yeah, that's a good
idea. You can pull it up too while you're, yeah.
I miss mine. I sold it. I shouldn't have.
They're not great. They're just fun and they look really cool.
I mean, that was why I owned it, and that was why I sold it. I didn't use it.
We use it because my kids like it. So I'm citing in all this stuff, because I'm going to grouse hunting this weekend. Grouse hunting opens in one area, September 1st, and so we're going to go camping for one day, and then day two, grouse. We're going to start. We're going to get out there and get some grouse, and I'm going to bring a bunch of sides, like pasta and rice and that kind of thing. I assume that it's all going to be accompanied with grouse at some point. Maybe some oil and some like salt and that kind of thing. Fry it up in a pan.
Nice.
Yeah. Everything plus grouse. That's what I'm planning on doing. And that is all me. Kelly, what about you?
I spent a couple of weekends doing all kinds of different stuff. I think I wasn't on last week, was I? I can't remember anymore. Did a couple things. So did the CCFR Gunny Girl calendar shoot. Did I talk about that last week?
No, you weren't on last week.
Nope.
I wasn't here. No. So I did the Gunny Girl calendar shoot in Ontario. There was a tornado. And so it was a bit of a challenge. We were up in Collingwood. I wanted to give a huge shout out to Joel, who helped us out with that, but also the Meaford Range. It was great to see so many different people from our community and everybody helping us out. We even have this calendar is going to be amazing. We were able to bring in airplane this year. So,
That's awesome.
Really? Right. So calendar is going to be off the charts this year. So I'll let you know when it's about to be released and you guys all will get one because that's what I do for my co-host. But everybody else who's listening, you have to order it and then you can win all kinds of cool prizes. This past weekend, I was super, super duper busy. I went to Lower Trent Valley. They were doing a Ladies' Day. So the Ladies' Day was the biggest one that has been hosted in Canada to date. And we had 135 women come to the range and had an amazeballs day. We had so many things, different things going on. We had a range that was just 22 pistols. We had just 22 rifles. Then we had shotguns. So we were doing trap up on the shotgun range. We had IPSC. We had cowboy action. We had 9mm pistols, and that's where I was for the day. Super duper fun. And we had also axe throwing and a barbecue, and we had prizes that were given away. So Saturday from 8 o'clock in the morning until 4 o'clock in the evening, as I said, we had 135 people come through the range. All of them left happy. The only injury we had was a slide bite from a Beretta. And I told her to, when she came over to see me, because I was on the other side of the range, I said, "Oh dear." And she said, "I wish you had told me how I had gotten you first. Then I would have known how to handle it." So a lot of instruction was given. The RSOs were super safe. And yeah, I had a really, really, really fun day. So lots of fun. So this was all with the, you know, Tracy, as well as Anna and Kelly, myself. We travel in a pack, by the way. So that night we stayed over in Trenton, spent some time with all of the gunnies that are in the Trenton area that were also volunteers at Ladies Day. And then on Sunday, we traveled to Oakville, because what was happening on Monday was the Odell Industry Range Days, and it was super fun as well. So along our way, we stopped at a Water Buffalo place where we bought all kinds of meat and cheese and pies and different things, and we petted some water buffalo. And but that's not guns, but still, I did it with my peeps. And then, as I said, on Monday we did Odell Range Days. Got to shoot a lot of On Saturday, a lot of people were shooting guns, but it wasn't really me. And then I always never get to shoot guns because I'm always instructing or doing something. So I just shot the shit out of everything. So we travel in packs as well. Kelly and I, we if we could shoot it, we went and shot it. So got to try out the new over-under trap gun that is just being released currently right now from Odell. The Canuck. It's a fantastic trap gun. Smooth, nice, beautiful. I'm in the market for a semi-auto shotgun that I can use for skeet. So I was trying those out, and I think I'm going to get that one of the Hunter series because it's a nice gun too. It's really smooth. We're playing five stand. Playing, is that the right word or term? We're shooting five stand. By the way, the rabbits, I don't know what the heck's wrong with me, but I couldn't shoot a rabbit for my life of me, right? So the rabbits are the ones that are on the ground that roll and jump. But I did okay with five stand. I got a couple of clays. What else did I do? Oh yeah, we went and shot. There's Kel-Tec was there, so we were shooting and sub 2000. There was no pistols, unfortunately, because
those
Canada
yeah
right. So there was a new there is a new lever action for the TM22, so it was lots of fun. It was just a 22 though. And then I got to shoot the Bagheera. What is it? Just give me a second. For the life of me, I can't remember. The Bagheera B14 and 6.5. So I was shooting that, and it had a beautiful, and I mean beautiful, it had an apex optic on it. So I was looking through it. First time I actually got to try one of those out. We were under a covered area as well, covered pad, and we were shooting out to, I think we were shooting a steel. It was at 200, and I believe it was 6 inches, and I was able to shoot the center of it just smack dab every time. So, but with the Apex scope, super simple, super easy. It was very illuminated as well because it was quite dark underneath the covered area. So I like it. I might have to buy one because I don't have one. So I just want to give a shout out to Apex as well. Nice scopes. The Bagheera was actually super nice too. So, and smooth. Yeah. Bolt ran really, really smooth. So Had super duper, had a lot of fun, and got to travel with some really fun ladies. Got to see our friends at Odell. So shout out to Phil and Ian. Well, Phil specifically, it's his company. He put on a really great day. Got to meet some, some politicians as well, and talk to them about the need that they, we need to have our gun laws reversed. They were all in agreement, obviously, if they're coming out to a, you know, events that we're hosting for women and the industry days. That's about it, I guess. A lot of traveling, a lot of time spending with people who are part of our community. Watch out for the calendar when it's going to be released. And that's it for me. What about you, Dustin?
Sure, I can go before Kyle. That's we're just throwing all the rules out today. I didn't do like a crazy amount. It's actually been a busy week. I've done some film days, boring film days, but still film days. I did a little bit more reloading, just some 9mm. That's all I have the energy for. Did a little bit of dry fire practice with Tyler, my partner. I like to do that every once in a while. He's pretty good with a rifle. He's not great with a handgun, and it's just practice. It's a, you know, together activity. And so every once in a while, we'll do a little bit of that together just to get him a little bit more comfortable with it, so that when we go to the range, he doesn't hate it all of the time there. he enjoys shooting. He's just, yeah. I've been re-prepping for my new meeting with my MP. The last one got canceled on me like the day of, and then got promised, oh, we'll reschedule for like the next upcoming day. 2 months later. So I've got a meeting in 2 weeks now, and I just drafted my and sent my email to them requesting, like, oh, what all are we going to talk about? Like, well, this email chain's 50 emails long, you can guess, but I did send him the link to that that article from, I can't remember what police, York Regional Police. I'm sure you all saw the City News article. It's not the first time where you've got a police officer coming out and saying, yeah, we have significant increases in handgun crime, and all of those guns are coming from illegal sources in the U.S., and the politicians have done nothing, and it is getting worse every day. So I made a point to include that in the email about what I'd like to talk about as far as, you know, why 2 years into a handgun ban, we're seeing dramatic increases instead of an end to gun violence in Canada once and for all, which is a direct quote I took from our prime minister and put in the email, because I like to spice those emails up whenever possible. I already have all my talking points, all that stuff's just sitting, you know, next to me here, but did that, and then I did a little, just a little... Sorry? Oh, are you frozen, or did you have a question? Oh, no. Just, okay. All good. All good. You. Anyway, yeah, so did that. And then I've started, I've got some German friends coming over next week. They're going to come stay with us for 4 or 5 days. I'm going to take them shooting. So I've been going back and forth, messaging just different guns in my collection. Like, what would you guys like to try? What do you want to play with? So a little bit of that too, which is always fun. And I'm getting them into the shooting sports. I'm like, your laws aren't the worst in the world. You guys can have guns too. And one of them's very interested. So I'm going to try and convert a couple of international folks next week.
Are you going to have them shoot German guns, American guns? Like what were they interested in?
Oh, you know what? Pretty broad smattering. Going to be a lot of handguns. And yeah, we've got the Bren that they're going to shoot. Obviously we'll shoot my Tavor, and what was the other one that they really wanted to do? Brain farting. Now the Vector. So modern stuff. Yeah, they all want to have, you know, fun stuff. He's really interested in the H&K 416. So, and they can get that there. It's like their license tiers are even more than ours. So, there is like a tier that he can achieve. He's like, oh yeah, I was looking into this. Like, I think I can actually get this rifle. And I was like, great. I hope you enjoy it a lot for both of us. But yeah, did that. And I don't know if you all saw, I just caught a little one of Pierre's little snippets. You were talking about like the our politicians being at least interested in this. I don't think it's, you know, FaceTime. I think that they are at least getting a little bit wise. Like I was just watching like a 2-minute sort of back and forth thing with Pierre and some guy that like had his truck stolen out of his driveway like twice in a relatively brief period. Listening to our hopefully future prime minister talk about like the RPAL and PAL and some of the, it is more than just lip service. I think he's at least done a level of research and there's at least some knowledge there. And that makes me feel good for our future. And that's it.
Yeah. Cool.
That's awesome.
Kyle, what about you?
Well, for those who aren't watching, you're missing the sandy beach and Mai Tais. But no, I'm in a hotel in North Dakota traveling yet again.
Luxurious, classy North Dakota.
Yeah,
living it up. But they did go and shoot at Roswell at their monthly match last weekend. And so pulled the PCC out, crystal shot. And it was hot.
You get some little green men? Did you get the little green men? Like, were they targets or what's, how's that working?
Oh, no, they're just part of the landscape now.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. it didn't shoot too badly. You know, one big issue, went on one stage and went, it was an empty start by the table, but went to the make ready, go to turn on my dot, won't come on. Okay. I had noticed my dot was getting dim, so I actually changed my battery before that stage. All right. Whatever. I'm like, okay, well, I guess we'll do it live. They were close targets and actually did half decent on the stage. It was really funny because it was really short, 3 paper, 2 poppers. So it was just basically on the left, you had full-size target, popper, head box, popper, full size. I one-shotted both the poppers, and like the head box one, okay, I was about a foot down and to the left, but then was able just off that do Kentucky windage with no dot and actually get the head box.
Nice.
And impressive. Yeah, so I was actually very surprised. I was, okay, cool. Went back, decided, okay, took it to the safe area, played around with it, grabbed yet another fresh battery, put it in there. Okay, yeah, no, it seems to be going fine. And, so went back and just jokingly was like, hey, got my dot back. Any chance I could reshoot this? Because they were still running people through and it was a small group. And like, yeah, I don't see why not. I was like, I'd like to try it with an actual dot. And so, yeah, they let me reshoot it and did better with the dot, thankfully.
Weird. Weird how that happens, eh?
It would have been really bad if I didn't do as good with the dot. I've been getting too comfortable. Not like really pushing the envelope, driving the gun, or really hard on the trigger. So I got to get back to not waiting for the perfect sight picture and driving harder on stuff, but with control, because other times I do drive and I miss. So you got to find that happy medium, because there was a couple stages where that was just too slow. I could have easily gone faster, but it's, after talking with Taylor tonight, hopefully there'll be some stuff that'll make it a little easier to drive that a little bit better.
Yeah.
But, other than that, that's it for me. I won't be back in time we were supposed to have a 3-gun match this weekend in Carlsbad, but I'm flying back on Saturday, so I won't be there for that. Haven't heard if they're actually going to do it still or not, but,
Cool.
Cool.
All right. Let's get up to upcoming events. 3-gun matches. Is that my cursor? That is. Let's see. Canadian Multigun Series in Guelph is September 6th, Chaz Three-Gun Battle of Alberta. That's a two-day. It's on September 7th and 8th. CDTSA has a three-gun match, also September 8th. Sher Park has a match on September 21st.
Mighty I actually have a note on that.
Team match. Uh-huh.
We got a YouTube comment, and it's a little early for YouTube comments, but because it is with that match, that September 1st mm-hmm. match at Sherwood Park has been canceled.
Ah, okay.
And they've rescheduled for the 19th of October.
All right. I'll have to update that on my website here. Thank you for that. Peace River team match is September 28th, 29th. So if you want to head up to that one, that's a fun one up in Peace River. And then Chaz has a three-gun match October 5th. Moving on over to Maple Seeds. I've got those up open, Kelly, so I'll just rip through those. The next one coming up is August 31st in Lloydminster, Alberta, Saskatchewan. You pick. It's technically in Saskatchewan, but close enough. Mm. Close enough to both. That one still has spots available, and it is going ahead. They have enough people. There is a Lady Seed in Blue Mountain, Ontario, on September 7th. I believe that still has spots. I checked, and it seemed like I could pick tickets, so I think
so. Yeah, there's still spots.
Sherwood Park, yeah, September 14th in Sherwood Park. That one's sold out. The 15th, you have to go through the Ladies Club there with Sherwood Park, so take a gander over there. Kelly will be there. I'll be there. On September 15th, same day, Miramichi in New Brunswick will also have an event. Looks like it's opening soon. September 21st in Broken Head River. That'll be in Manitoba. September 22nd, Lone Butte Women Only. And then September 28th, Chaz. September 28th, CFB Borden Maple Seed. And then September 29th, CFB Borden Known Distance. And I might as well just finish all of them out. October 5th. Is going to be Nova Scotia, Cape Nova.
We have actually a couple more that are going to be added for Ontario on the 5th and 6th of October. It's going to be happening in Stittsville. It's not a private club. It's the public club, so it's going to be populated very soon. So watch for it to be released to everybody. There's some other events that are going to be happening in Ontario as well. So, yeah, Ontario is still going to keep going, Adriel. What about Alberta?
Nope. As October comes, it's too cold. The risk is too high. You might get a day where it's like, it's minus 10 and it's windy. No.
Fine.
The chances of us giving away those blue patches, low. Low. Nothing in the news. In terms of new gun stuff, that's brought to you by Bullseye North. Near to Boomsick, Bullseye North is Canada's shooting superstore and a proud supporter of the CCFR. With a wide selection of guns and top training gear for any shooter. Right now, they have 45% off Bushnell scopes. So if you're looking for a Bushnell scope, take a look at those. There's also a rebate on Bushnell scopes right now. Some of them have 30% off retail.
Really?
So what? You do the mail-in, you get 30% off. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. That's really cheap scopes.
Yeah. So if you can find it, a sale and that. Tony's got some comments about 1911s. I'm going to wait until he's on so that he can talk about those, because those are not applicable to us here in Canada.
I literally brought mine just for him.
Just for him. He's also got a YouTube video here on a U.S. production STG-44 in 8mm Kurtz. Oh. Kurtz. Yeah. Military Arms Channel or Mac has that review if you wanted to learn more about that. And then I was looking at Cabela's today and I saw something. Okay, they have the Elite 4500, which I think they're discontinuing. I feel like they're going to discontinue this scope because they have the Nitro and the Forge, and the Elite is from their Bosch and Lohm used to make the Elites. And that's who Bushnell bought, is Bosch and Lohm. They made the Elite 4500, 3200, and then 5600. Those are all Bosch and Lohm. So they've started changing the names on these. So I would like to believe that these are not going to be around forever. They're $399 right now, and there's that 30% rebate off.
It's also really good.
That's cheap scope, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also have a couple other things, but who cares? All right, why don't we get on to the main topic?
Well, for our main topic, we have Taylor Reich, multi-time national champion, both production optics and PCC. And most recently, the 2024 overall Ipsic Canada Nationals champion. So how's it going?
With not an open gun. Not an open gun.
Yeah, with not an open gun at that.
It's wild.
Yeah. Nice to be on again. Good to see all your faces. And thank you.
No.
Hi, Taylor.
We should all hold for applause. You're going to edit those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Well, if I was home at home, I was going to actually have like the sample on my mixer.
We'll add it in post. We'll add it in post.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Like the foghorn and everything.
No? Just because you said that, you're getting foghorns.
Oh, no.
You do know we don't add anything. We just, yeah.
We make exceptions sometimes.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. true. I guess this is one of them.
It's going
to
be.
I don't have to do it, so I'm saying, yeah. Okay.
Well, there you are.
Anyways, welcome to the show.
But we'll get into it. So wanted to have Taylor on because, well, PCC national champion, and I saw you custom built your PCC to win that championship mm-hmm. a couple times now, and so just wanted to go over building competition PCs. I guess to start off with, I guess a good place to start would be just an overall list on what you think are viable PCCs that are available in Canada.
Oh, okay. That kind of feels like we're starting at the end and going back to the start. I think you should probably flip it around. You should be looking at like qualities you want in a PCC and checking those boxes, and eventually those viable PCCs are going to kind of reveal themselves in a way. It really comes down to if you don't know anything about a PCC out there, it's hard to make those decisions, right? I mean, I can give you a quick list on everything that I've seen.
Oh, no, Nationals. You think it's better to go the other way. We can go the other way. Absolutely.
Let me ask you a question about that then. In your professional opinion, what are some of like the features that is, right, imagine someone's just like, okay, I want to get into PCC. What are some like quality of life features that are going to make their lives easier? And I know I have a few just that I don't have on my gun, but what are some quality of life features that you think anybody getting into PCC should maybe be looking for in anything that they're looking at on the market?
Well, the two that are kind of non-negotiable, and one gets a little tricky. It's got to be accurate. And fortunately, pretty much every single PCC on the market nails that. So that's kind of check. Move on to the next one. And then it comes down to reliability. That's the second most important factor. Now, what a lot of people don't seem to realize is that most PCCs on the market are going to have some kind of issue. We're kind of in limbo in Canada where we don't have access to the worldwide gold standard of an AR9, right? Like if this was 2019 and you had me on the show, I'd say go buy a JP5. And the show would be over, right?
Right.
But we can't get those, right? So now we're in a unique position where we have to kind of contemplate all these guns that the rest of the world wouldn't even waste time on. Not that they're bad platforms, but why would you if you can just get an AR-9? But we can't. So reliability, when I was at Nationals this year and last year, I was really surprised at what I saw was reliable and wasn't reliable. And even just as a CRO on a stage, seeing 40, 50 shooters come through, I saw the BNTS PC9 have an out of battery detonation. I saw the SPC9 have a failure to feed. I saw the Rugers have failure to feeds. I saw Ravens either break a firing pin, or that was at Provincials twice, or they would have magazine release issues or feeding issues. I saw most of the PCCs that you would consider to be a good choice have some kind of issue. So I hate to break it to you right off the bat, but there is no PCC that you can just run out and buy and have it highly reliable and highly competitive. So that's the bad news. is if you want to compete at a high level with PCC, even if you just want to compete without having any issues, that dream is gone. You're going to have to tinker with something. You're probably going to deal with some kind of feeding issues or extraction issues. So I say reliability is the second most important factor, and it is, but that's something you have to work on. And there are definitely going to be people out there listening right now saying, my Ravens had no issues. My BNTs had no issues. My Scorpion had no issues. And I 100% believe that. At this point, I believe that it comes down to the QC of the company and how many lemons you're going to get, because there's going to be great ones out there and there's going to be not so great ones out there. This Raven has been phenomenal. Even though I've had issues, it's been phenomenal even before I started customizing it. But that's the bitter truth of it. So next you got to start looking at factors that have to do with the competitiveness of the PCC and what you can do with it. So modularity and tunability. So like we were just talking about before we went live, the Smith & Wesson, Adriel? Was that the Smith & Wesson that you had?
Yeah,
the FPC. And you were saying like, the stock can't be switched out, but there's one company that makes it, right? So, I mean, there's things that might not make a big difference, but let's say you're a really tall shooter and your length of pull sucks. Well, that might not seem like a big deal, but if you're trying to mount the gun, get on target really quickly and get those two shots off and move on, if your length of pull is an inch too short, that is going to translate to a performance issue. And if you can't fix that, right? Like if you have one of those like European cantilevered stocks and you can't switch that out, you get used to it, right? And then you might have to deal with that. So there's things of like, can you make the gun ergonomic to yourself? And that's what I would consider to be like modularity. But then there's like what actually goes on in the gun, of how tunable that gun is, really takes it to the next level. And this is, it depends on how competitive you want to be, right? Like there was one competitor last year at Nationals who ran one of those Kel-Tec sub 2000s, bone stock. And he had no issues. And because he had no issues, he beat a lot of people that he may not have beat, right? Mm. So there's a level that you can take pretty much any PCC out there if it's running for you. And it really comes down to how well you perform. But once you kind of get to that threshold of, okay, this is a spongy Smith & Wesson trigger and I can't split it any faster than like 0.2. There's a ceiling to how fast you can go with that thing, right? If you can't switch out your buffer system, if you can't, you know, attach some kind of muzzle device, if you can't adjust the spring weights and everything like that, you're going to run into a wall of how fast you can run it, right? And so that's where tunability, how tunable a system is, kind of becomes a really important factor on a PCC. So I think that Smith & Wesson can take AR buffers, can it not? I've been told that it can.
I don't think so.
No, I think it was Tristan who told me it could, but I never actually physically touched one in person. But I was just going to use that as an example, right? Like that one factor of being able to switch out your buffer system, that's a huge bonus, because if you can't change it, like a good example is that the BNT GHM9. My buddy Justin, he's on the Alberta team. He ran a GHM9 for a while and it's a really great gun. But if you change your ammo, or if you're running really low power factor loads, there's nothing you can really do to tune it. There's no buffers out there unless you're willing to like drill your bolt to kind of drop the weight or go to a spring shop and get them to make you a spring. There's nothing you can do to change what you already have. Right. So, like you kind of stack on all these factors and it kind of narrows down what your options are, right? So, and it kind of leads all the way back to the AR9. What is most like the AR9? And that comes down to like the Raven and the SBC9 and what's that other one? The Just Right Carbine.
Right.
The Just Right Carbine, I've seen it at both Nationals now and it seems to run really nicely. And all of those three guns are very much like an AR9.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like and those, the tunability. Sorry, go ahead.
No. I was going to say, like, those all have, you know, in my head, you know, and some exterior features as well. I mean, tunability is obviously that's got to be huge up on the list, right? Like, things that you can adjust gives you that ability. And then outside of that, like, just thinking about external features, right? All of those guns take the same kind of mags, have the same kind of controls, same ergonomics, you know, same sort of, you know, manual of arms. That a lot of the other PCCs on the market maybe don't, like, talking about that sub 2000 charging handles back here, you know, doing a reload in that gun is fundamentally different than doing a reload in your Raven.
Yeah. And that's honestly the primary reason that I picked the Raven, is because I'm left-handed and this has a left-handed mag release. It's the only PCC on the market that has a left-handed mag release. And when you're thinking about shooting IPSC, and let's say the average stage is 15 seconds, 20 seconds, and I have to reload, bringing my support hand off and hitting that mag release and then going for a mag, especially in this country where we have to reload so much, that's adding at least a second that doesn't have to be there just because I have a gun that doesn't fit me, right? So if I was right-handed, there's a lot of other PCCs that I would absolutely consider. But, like, especially those BNTs, they say they're ambi, but you can't write some mag release with your index finger as a lefty. So that was kind of, that was straight up off the table for me. Like, I would just be slowing myself down with that. So, but yeah, you're right. The manual of arms is incredibly important. The more AR-like it is, the more ergonomic it is, right? But even that, like the sub 2000, it's, even though you got your mag in your grip, a lot of people might have racier guns than you, but haven't practiced reloading as much as you are, right? So it also comes down to the level of competition that you see yourself shooting against, right? Like, I think it was on a couple of years ago when I did that Chaz three gun match at BTSA and I ran the Kel-Tec, right? If I was shooting against the best in the world, I wouldn't be shooting a Kel-Tec, but I was just kind of having fun with my friends. And so I didn't feel like that was what would be holding me back.
Well, that kind of touched on one other sort of element of it that I was kind of curious about, you know, in you seeing a whole different world of guns that are being used there, and different, like, problems with them. How much of that also comes down to, like, how much time folks have on some of those guns, right? Like, obviously you're going to have folks like you that have just thousands and thousands of rounds downrange, but there's going to be another tier of folks, maybe like me, that, you know, don't have that many rounds downrange on a particular gun. And, like, cause, like, I think about, like, I've got a Ruger PC9 and yeah, like you said, the, you know, failure to extract issue, you know, it can be a thing, you know, just learning those kind of bugs and how to kind of tune those out. You kind of learn those in practice too, right?
Yeah. And how to do if you choose to shoot PCC, you have to spend the time to learn your gun, figure out what its quirks are and correct them, right? It's not like shooting production in IPSC where you can grab a Glock and know that it's going to run for 20,000 rounds before you have to change a spring or anything, right? It's almost more, I would say it's a lot more of a headache than shooting open, because at least if you're shooting open, there's so many gunsmiths in this country, so many other shooters who know the common problems and have the parts. There's a knowledge base there, where PCC is so new that we're kind of, it's uncharted waters, and we've spent a lot of time and frustration trying to get through that. And we're not very far. We're kind of still learning.
Right. We're kind of in the dating phase of the mm-hmm. PCC. Yeah. Getting to know.
Yeah.
Taylor, no air buffer on this thing.
It's not an air buffer.
No, just a big old hunk of steel.
That's huge.
Proprietary. Yeah. That's and massive. There's a little bolt head. I'm just going to, like, fit together.
Well, you know what? Like, that gun, I have never seen a performance issue with it. The only thing that I've seen is when the bolt's back, you can over insert the mag. That's what I've seen. So it's like I was saying, every gun has something, right? And I owned a Smith & Wesson. When those M&Ps, that was my first handgun. And I know how painful those mags are to load. So it's even things like that, right? Like, are the magazines accessible? Are they easy to load? Even stuff like some of those BNTs, they come with their proprietary mags and it's five rounds only. If you're just like kind of a casual gun owner and you want to go to the range, you want to have a cool gun, like that's not an issue for you. That's not something you see as a deal breaker. But if you want to compete with something, if it's not 10 rounds, it's gone. Like there's absolutely no reason to use it.
Yeah. Well, one feature I haven't heard you mention is a spring-loaded butt pad. Is that not a requirement in a modern like PCC, something that's competitive, for example?
You know, okay, that is one gun I've never seen at any PCC match, and I would love to see someone run it, even just as a meme.
Five rounds for the mags. The mags are rifle really? Only. Yeah. They didn't make them the same as the pistol, so they're five rounds for the pistol for the mags for this thing. You'll never see one.
I saw someone shoot a match with it. It was either in the spring or it was last year. I don't remember, but he suffered, and finally somebody gave him a different gun because
mags all around his belt.
He didn't he only had enough to shoot if he didn't screw up a whole bunch. And like gave away a stage because he just literally had to reload a magazine while the clock is going. And then finally after that, somebody was just like, here, take this. You shoot with this for the rest of the day. Put that away.
Yeah. It's like, watching someone shoot revolver. I'm sure it's a lot of fun, but it's painful for everyone else.
Yeah.
Tony's not here to.
So we already touched on that. Pretty much every one of them basically needs some kind of modification or tuning. Why don't we get into what you actually tune on a PCC to make them reliable or even more shootable for competition?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So I mean, the way I have mine set up now is restricted. And I made that decision because I knew I was always going to be at the range when I shot this. This is my IPSC gun. I'm at IPSC matches. I would be having my handgun anyway. So having a restricted gun wasn't that big of a deal for me. And it made it the most competitive. So not to sound like Garanthon, but we'll go tip to butt. He goes tip to butt. I'm going to go butt to tip. So it's just an air buffer or air buffer tube. And I just went with a Magpul stock. It's just comfortable for me. Like whatever is comfortable for you at work. Like everything you'll see on the outside of this gun, it really just comes down to how good it feels to me. A Magpul K2 Plus grip just feels really good to me. I think this is a lower 2/3 co-witness riser. It just feels really good to me. I walked into Red Deer Shooting Center and I asked Caleb to show me a bunch of heights, and I brought in my Raven, I brought in my Optic, and I just picked what I felt best, right? Nice. I actually did shoot a match. I shot this last weekend with my weapon light on, just for fun. That's not usually on there. But then I mean, this is still the Raven original handguard that I just cut down, and Black Box did all the painting on it, and then a comp on it. Right. And so externally, it's a pretty basic setup. It's just it's long enough for me to get a good support hand grip on without, having to kind of cramp up my hand. And I see that a lot. A lot of people will get the 8-inch FX9s. If you're not a short guy, there is a length that is too short to actually be comfortable with. And you're going to notice that you can't stabilize the gun properly. So I'm 6'2", 10.5-inch barrel. It's perfect. So I guess we're kind of going backwards now. That 10.5-inch barrel is obviously not stock. That's a Faxon barrel. And I mean, I really just got it for the length and to make it more maneuverable, but it actually had, a feeding cone on it. It's not a feed ramp like a few PCCs have, but it's a feeding cone. And anyone who has a Raven will probably tell you that you have feeding issues in the first few hundred rounds, and it can't feed anything but round nose bullets. So once I got that barrel, I can feed 147s, 160s, flat point, hollow point. So that's a kind of what I would actually consider an upgrade because it adds another feature to the gun. But that's the barrel that I'm running on it. This is a Lockhart Magwell. I helped Samuel develop this. We went through a few iterations, and it's just aluminum magwell. It makes my reloads not suck as much. The receiver set is still stock. Like I haven't lightened or done anything modification to it. I put my old 3-gun AR charging handle on here. This is a Radian Raptor. I mean, you can side charge this or you can rear charge this. I was side charging it before, and then I put in what I'll get to next, and that's the buffer system that requires you to actually, like, it hangs up because it's roller delayed. So I went to that charging handle. Internally, though, I drilled out the bolt to make it lighter, which I don't recommend doing unless you have the roller delay buffer system, which mm-hmm. makes it more like an MP5 because it doesn't depend on other forces. We'll get to that. And then trigger, it's like an AR-9, so you can take AR triggers. And so I run a Hyperfire Eclipse on that. Kind of like what I was saying before, with tunability and kind of hitting that ceiling of what you're capable of. Everyone's asking me, what trigger do you run? What's the best trigger? Like, anything other than a mil-spec trigger, you're probably going to be able to run really quickly. So, you know, CMC, Timney, Trigger Tech, Hyperfire, AR Gold, anything is an upgrade. Anything is going to probably take you to the level that it's faster than you are, right? So that's just the trigger that I chose. I love Hyperfires, so... and then really kind of the heart and soul, like I've already touched on, is that roller delay buffer system right here. That's the rollers that kind of punch out of the.
Ah, cool. I've seen one of those before. So it sticks out the buffer tube. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So there's only a few of these in Canada. Our whole Alberta team runs them. We all kind of imported them at the same time. We've been kind of testing them and figuring out how they work. There's a lot of other ways that you can go about doing a buffer system, but we chose the roller delayed, and it's not cheap. I think landed these were like 600 Canadian, which in hindsight, there's other ways I would have gone about this, like the Kin Shot. There's like magnetic buffers. There's others that kind of do the same thing. These are nice. If we could run these suppressed, they would be great, but we can't. Tuning a PCC, because almost every single PCC is blowback, you have a number of different factors that are going into the gun. You have the length of the barrel and the muzzle device. Muzzle device isn't doing a whole lot on a 9mm PCC. It's doing something, and you can have them, so you might as well have them. The length of barrel, your reciprocating mass, your ammunition, and then your buffer. So... like I was saying earlier with a reliability, most guns are not reliable out of the box. Now, most guns are also wildly overgassed out of the box. FX9 is a great example. They are really, really light on their buffer. They're really light on their bolt. So that gun is just pounding your shoulder. And, you know, I've had comments, people like, it's a 9mm PCC. It's not got much recoil. It's like, okay, it doesn't have much recoil, but if you're trying to shoot really, really fast, that matters. Like you want to, and there's, why would you have a gun that had more recoil than it needs to? Like there's no reason for it, right?
Well, when you're competing at the level you are, yeah. Any reduction in recoil is going to make for faster follow-up shots. It's going to make for... Yeah. It's all going to be faster. And the other thing that you mentioned there was because you went to that roller delayed buffer system, you could lose some weight on the bolt because a 9mm, you're going to need like a pound and a half of bolt weight unless you don't use direct blowback, because direct blowback is kind of crap.
It's kind of crap. You can make it run really smoothly. It really just comes down to what range of ammo you're able to use it reliably with. Whereas you go to this and you can run pretty much everything. Mm-hmm. If you get like one of those FX9s out of the box, I had one and I'm left-handed and I was getting like unburnt powder in the lips because it was so overgassed. I would almost say dangerously overgassed. And if you... Like I was talking about the ceiling of what you're able to achieve with like triggers and, you know, making gun lightweight and stuff like that. But really having a tuned buffer system and reducing that recoil. That's something that is benefiting everybody, no matter what your skill level is. There's absolutely no downside to it. It is going to allow you to be faster with absolutely no training. Because if the dot's going here, when it's overgassed and it goes to this, when it's properly gassed, everybody benefits from that, no matter how much you train. Right.
That so. Overgassing. Do you think that's because, like, the FX9 is a good example? They don't make it in an 18.6 inch barrel in the US. That thing's made to have a short barrel. Do you think that's why?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, I haven't done all the data testing and everything, but when I was looking at some kind of velocity tables for 9mm, it seemed like for factory ammo, velocity was going up per inch of barrel length until you reach about 16, which just happens to be the American legal limit. And then you drop off. It's like the 22 rimfire guys who say like a 16 inch barrel is optimal because that's when it leaves at its maximum velocity. I think it's 16 inch, but it's the same principle, right? So once you pass that, you're not gaining any velocity. All you're actually doing with a blowback system is increasing the pressure and the force working on everything in here. Right. And it's going to affect your reliability long-term. It's going to affect all your parts wear because there's so much force acting on that gun. And I think a lot of people don't understand that. I don't even think the people who are making these guns fully understand that, because what they want, they would rather have a gun come back to the shop under warranty after 3,000 rounds because something broke than it coming back to the factory after 200 rounds because it won't eject, right? If you don't make the gun, if you try and get that perfect spot of not overgassed, not undergassed, very little recoil, and it just strokes enough to eject, it's not going to work for every type of ammo. And so half your users are going to come back and say, this gun sucks, it won't cycle anything, right? That's why it has to be an end user thing to fix, right? And I think everyone, if you buy a PCC that can take an AR buffer, the first thing you should do when you buy it is throw that thing in the garbage and buy the heaviest buffer you can if you're shooting a non-restricted rifle, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you have a low bolt weight and a low spring tension, that low buffer weight, like reciprocating weight low, spring tension low, it's going to be high recoil. You're risking out of battery detonations, and you might get that burn in your face like I did if you're a left-handed shooter, right? So you want to go the other way. You actually want to go like shorter barrel. That's going to go to the undergassing side. You want to have a heavier bolt or heavier reciprocating mass that goes to the undergassing side, until you go to something like the roller delayed. And that's tuning a PCC.
Right. Okay. Well, I wanted to really touch on the buffer because I don't know if you listen. I'm one reason why I wanted to have you on to have this conversation is because I am in the middle of my PCC is built, but I need to tune it. And that recoil impulse is driving me batty. Like you're talking with the jumpiness of a PCC. Like, yep. I mean, at this point, I'd prefer shooting my .223 rifle than my PCC right now because it doesn't move. But they don't move. But on the buffer, so now, like, you have, what is it? That's the Shields, right? The Shields roller delay?
Yeah, that's the Shield roller delay Gen 2.
Yeah, and now, why to pick your brain on, like, say that versus going and just doing a little bit of reading, going with a like an A5 buffer with a 308 spring and like a any number of hydraulic buffers, like a 308 buffer spring and then like the hydraulic buffer.
So if you like that would work. That would work, and it would probably shoot really nicely. You're probably going to get that level of gassing that you want. The only downside to what you're talking about, if you go to with an AR-10 spring, is now you have really, really strong spring force coming back. And because these aren't, it's just a bolt battering up against a breech face, right? It's not like a locking bolt like an AR. Mm-hmm. You will probably introduce some level of bolt bounce, which could, like, you would either get an outer battery detonation. You might not, but it just increases the risk. And parts wear as well, right? You're slamming that heavy spring on that bolt right up against the breech face. Over time, it's gonna wear your parts down. Whether or not you care about that, if you just want to cycle parts out, that's another deal, right?
Yeah. Okay. I seem to recall, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you were playing around with spacers in your buffer too. What does that contribute to that?
Yeah, it kind of touches on what I was just talking about. And I do. I think I have an inch long spacer that I just spun up on the lathe. It's just an aluminum spacer, about, I think it's 0.995 long. And then I have a little shelf on there for the spring to sit in. And that's to short stroke it. And that's another really, really easy thing to do to your PCC to improve performance, is short stroking it. So if you'll notice on the PCC, I don't know if you can see, but my bolt release actually does work now. With the old blowback buffer, it didn't because it was too long. But the bolt only came up back about 2 inches. But on a stock Raven, it's coming back about 3 inches all the way back here. So that was your total stroke.
Okay.
And you don't need that, because that was kind of designed around like a 223. Like the length of that cartridge, the stroke needed to be that long. And most AR9s and the Raven, they're all kind of based around that. So if you have an AR9 platform, that's why everyone says short stroke it, because you don't need that extra distance traveled. And what that translates to is more velocity or more acceleration coming back, more recoil, and then a harder impact when it goes back into battery. And you just don't need that. And I can't explain all the physics behind it, but I know that when I put that little spacer in there and I went out to the range and shot it, my dot bounce, like, it significantly improved. It actually did reduce recoil just by reducing the stroke of the gun. And that's another thing. Like, I'm sure we could do a little bit more testing, see what the optimal length is. But it's another thing that, if you don't get it right, your trigger's not going to reset, or you're not going to feed properly, or you're not going to extract properly. But if you do get it right, it has a lot of performance benefits. And you can just do quarters as well. A lot of guys, like even Justin, to this day, he just runs a stack of quarters. They call it the Buck 50 short stroke. Yeah, I don't know if his is exactly a Buck 50, but like, yeah, you put something in there to limit the bolt travel, and it makes a serious difference.
Well, that makes sense, you know, from a physics perspective. Like, you know, you're decreasing the distance that piece is traveling, so fundamentally there's just going to be less force impacting one way and the other. That just makes sense.
Well, you're kind of preloading your spring too. Like, so yep. is your bolt actually hitting the spacer, or is it
Like you could pre-tension it with,
or I should
the,
say your,
the quarters.
Your buffer hitting your spacer, not your bolt,
but yeah the buffer directly hits the spacer. And you can preload it if you just did that, the quarter system, you're shortening the total area that your spring can compress, right? Whereas my spacer, you drop it about a quarter inch, but it slips over the spacer. Oh, so okay. I'm not pre-tensioning my spring, but that might help. That might not help. I've never actually tried that. Maybe that's an off-season thing that I can play around with, but I'll see if I can pop this out and show you guys what it looks like. I haven't actually taken this apart in a while.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's interesting. Your spring slides over your spacer. I was doing some reading. It sounded like people were just basically putting spacers in there and in hand preloading their buffer spring.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you were saying with the AR-10 buffer, or not buffer, but the spring, that's just, it's giving you more spring pressure, right? So if you preload that spring, it's doing the same thing.
Now, that roller delay, can you explain what that is doing and what, like, the reason to go with something like that, the roller delayed buffer?
Yeah. So we kind of discussed how blowback works already a little bit, but if you've got a round going off in the chamber, it's building pressure as it travels down the barrel until it overcomes the reciprocating mass of the bolt and the buffer and the spring tension, and then it just naturally unlocks. There's nothing keeping it locked up like an Air 15. So you've got that one side of overgassing and that one side of undergassing. So if you have a bolt that's too light, it's going to have out of battery detonations or other safety risks. And you have to balance that level of gassing. Whereas if you go to this roller delay buffer system, this completely eliminates the need for the bolt to be heavy and the spring to be high tension. Because what this is doing is in the split second that the round is fired, where are you? Those rollers have to pinch in. I'll see if I can pinch that a little better. They have to pinch in and then come back through the buffer tube. So that's what we call dwell time in an AR9 or in any blowback PCC. And if you can keep that system in place during that dwell time before the bullet leaves the barrel or before the gas pressure is low enough to be safe to reciprocate, then you don't have to worry about your bolt being super heavy and your spring being really, really tight. Now you can lighten those things, and that obviously translates to lower recoil. That's why the MP5 uses a roller delayed buffer system. That's why it's so famously beautiful to shoot, is because it has that system. Now, I'm not saying that this gun is as nice to shoot as an MP5, but it's closer than it was when it was just straight blowback. So that's right. That's why different types of systems, and it's not just roller delayed. I think there's a new system that's bearing delayed. It does the same kind of thing, and then there's radial delayed with CMMG. They make that where it's the same kind of dwell time, but it's like an AR-15 lug bolt that is unlocking during that dwell time, and then it reciprocates. So there's a lot of different ways to go about it. It really just depends on how much time you're willing to compare the systems and how much money you're willing to spend, right? But at the end of the day, I was at a match with my buddy Ken Hume, who's now importing the Kin shots into Canada. And I shot his FX9 that was tuned almost exactly like mine, but with the Kin shot hydraulic buffer, and mine had the roller delayed, and they didn't shoot significantly different. They were both very nice to shoot. And one's like a third of the price.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Different ways to go. There. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And it was interesting because like the roller delay is kind of achieving it at the front, whereas the hydraulic buffer is working it on the back end. So that really interesting to hear that there's not really, you didn't really feel much difference in them.
Yeah. That. Well, and the hydraulic buffer is still at its core a direct blowback. It's just kind of the most optimized version of direct blowback that you can get. And it works really well. Let's see if I can get this back in.
It's kind of funny that they haven't experimented with other stuff. Like with handguns, the most typical is like recoil, like tilting barrel operated. But we also have rotating barrel. I guess you wouldn't want to have a rotating barrel on a PCC. Okay, so no rotating, no tilting.
Why can't we do really DI? Long. Is it just because there's not enough powder to make the...
You can do DI, but that's that's a complex setup to do.
Yeah.
Like roller delayed is it's complicated too, I guess.
It is, yeah. It's definitely more intensive to manufacture and design than a straight blowback. But there are DI systems like the SIG MPX. That's a DI system. A lot of people run those.
I had an early Chinese pistol that was gas delayed. It had a little gas piston in it that was going the other way. And when you fired, the gas would keep it locked together for just a little bit, and then it would reciprocate.
What?
Not a system I would recommend.
Yeah, I've never heard of that. I've never heard of that before. I thought you were going to talk about like Desert Eagle or something.
Gas delayed, not gas acted, gas delayed. The gas stops the action from doing anything. It doesn't move the action, which is kind of a backwards way of doing it. But there's some gas delayed guns out there.
I'm sure there's a reason I've never heard of it.
I'd like to see one of those other alternative recoil methods start to take hold, because putting a pound and a half chunk of steel in these things is super inelegant. And it does. This does not need to be this heavy. You could cut a pound off this rifle if you used a different recoil system on it.
But
you would probably not be able to use a straight rail. You'd probably have to do something up here if you're going to use gas delayed or gas operated or maybe inertial. Maybe inertial, like our shotguns. You know, maybe that's inertial the way to go. But it would be PCC. Cool if.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not a gun designer, so like, don't listen to me. But I would like to get something that's a little bit more sophisticated than big piece of metal go back and forth, and that's how we're making this thing work, right?
That's the blowback. It's the most rudimentary system known to mankind.
Well, I guess, and that's one thing that's kind of
No, it's all right.
But that sets the roller delay apart from going with the hydraulic buffer. Is that you can tune that roller delay to now you're running the lighter bolt and everything, if I'm understanding that correctly.
Yes. You are, yeah. And I mean, on the ground, shooting both side by side, didn't notice much difference. In theory, there's a big difference, but in practice, there wasn't, right? It kind of goes back to what I was saying before about you can shoot a wide variety of ammos with the roller delayed, and you're not going to have to retune it. It just, once the pressure reaches a certain level, it's just like any piston operated. It's like the Versamax, right? You hit enough gas and it starts working the action. Whereas the Kinshot, it's still direct blowback. So if you start to use different, I'm shooting my 132 power factor IPSC loads. Awesome. Now I put in some hollow point, HSTs just for fun, and the gun doesn't run, or it's wildly overgassed again. It's just, what do you want to use your PCC for? If it's only going to be competition, there's a lot of options. This would be awesome for running as your competition PCC. And if you're like American and you could have a can and you wanted defensive ammo, now it's going to be just as reliable with that as it was with your light IPSC loads.
I was just going to say, Adriel, I mean, like part of it with a gun like the M&P, you're building it to a price point too, right? Like, it's an inelegant, but it's a cheap solution, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a reason a lot of
I'd still like to see another thing out there.
Well, I would love to see something that was in between the $1,000 and $3,000 price points, right? Like, it would be nice to have a good functional, maybe a little bit faster, a little bit better than, like, off-the-rack PCC for in that $2,000 to $2,500 price point. You know, the BNTs are really expensive. They're really expensive.
Well, and what I've told,
blowback, are they something else?
They are. They're direct blowback, but they have a hydraulic buffer incorporated into it. So they are really nice to shoot. And a bunch of the kind of top PCC guys in BC, after I told them, go get a Raven, and they had a horrible experience with their Ravens, they sold them immediately and they went to the SBC9. They've had really good success, apart from that one guy who had the out of battery detonation. But they are stupid expensive. Like, I built one Raven for one of my friends here in Calgary, basically the same as what I run, and it cost less than the price of a off-the-shelf BNT. And that's with pretty much every component that I'm running here. Same trigger, same buffer system, same barrel. In fact, he got like a carbon fiber handguard, and it was still cheaper than buying the BNT.
Yeah, I think for that particular use case, that'd be the way to go, right? I don't know.
It
tuned out Raven.
Like you asked it. Yeah, tuned out Raven. Exactly. Yeah. But even then, like, I've seen some horror stories. Even at Nationals, I had one of my friends from BC come up to me and say, can I show you my Raven? And he pulled it apart, and I my eyes went wide. The buffer detent was completely snapped. Like, it was locked up in there. Stuff was falling out of the gun. Like, it was not, and it couldn't feed. It was like, if that was my gun, I would immediately be calling the manufacturer and saying, what's going on? Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but then there was also
a factory one.
Yeah, it was a non-restricted. It just had, I don't know if it had any aftermarket parts on it. It was running the Lockhart adjustable buffer and maybe an aftermarket trigger, but that was it. It's like I was saying, the QC, right? You might get one that's awesome, and if it's awesome, it'll run forever. But this gun does have its issues, like fundamental issues. One of which is the firing pin. I think the last time I was on, we talked about the firing pin. it's been okay now. I'm at about 12,000 rounds with this and 11,000 on the same firing pin. So that's it. That would be good by AR standards, right?
Yeah.
So I'm pretty happy with that. But yeah, we had our provincial championship in July, like end of June. And one of my friends who, once again, I recommended a Raven to, and he had three firing pins break on him just in that match. And that match was 300 rounds.
Wow.
So there is something wrong with the design of that firing pin. And the mag release is made out of aluminum, and at about 8,000 rounds, mine just failed. Like I couldn't mag in, drop out. It failed sooner than that, but I had a friend like laser weld on some material to keep it in, and then it just it failed over Christmas. So it does have a couple of issues.
Is that just on the PCC? Is it just on the 9mm, or is that on the 5.56 version as well?
Only on the 9. The 5.56 is an AR firing pin, so it's perfectly fine. Yeah, that's
it's
like
not an AR. It's close, but it's proprietary.
Yeah, yeah, it's proprietary, yeah, it's not an AR, because he decided that he wanted to do a two-piece bolt design with a front bolt and then the main body. So, oh, if you wanted to, you know, switch calibers to 40 cal, you just have to buy a different bolt face and a new barrel and new magazines. And I'm looking at it like, you made this bolt so difficult to machine that it would be cheaper to just have a standard bolt and buy a different one for 40 cal or 45. Right. So, well, and that design,
the Ruger PC carbine has a changeable face on it too. The Ruger PC carbine, you change the front part off. Yeah. And you can change it. I don't know if that's all you need to do to change it to 40 or something like that, but you can take the front of it off.
That's because you can also, the barrel comes out real easy.
Yeah. Yeah. This is an AR. If you want to change the barrel, you're doing what you would do to an AR, right?
Yeah.
But it's not the bolt, the separate bolts themselves that make it the problem. It's the fact that you now have a really skinny firing pin going through them. That if it's just the tolerances are just a little bit out of spec, that tiny 70 thou firing pin is just going to snap.
Yeah.
But no, that the 5.56 Raven, man, that thing, like, especially if you build one like I did, it's a great gun. Like you're not limited to anything but the bolt carrier, which has now been fixed for the last year and a half, and the LT parts that are on the actual receiver. So I highly recommend that. The 9, I think, is now more of a problem than the 5.56.
You know, I have a love hate, you know, feelings about that. Like you've got a small community kind of servicing a very niche market under very, very, you know, extreme and limiting circumstances. It's kind of easy to crap on any kind of makers, you know, making something new and hard. Like I'm a maker. I make and sell things, and I know what it's like to iterate and you know, kind of learn as you go too, right? And all of them are doing that and under duress. So there's like, there's that too. They never know if the thing that they're making and putting a bunch of time, money, and effort into is going to be banned tomorrow with no warning, you know?
Yeah.
I'm
a machinist, and I've approached my boss, and we've just brainstormed what it would take to build a rifle. And he says, I would never touch that. The level of risk in the market and the level of uncertainty, it's just, I would never touch that. There are so many other industries that are way more profitable and stable. You have to love what you do to make guns for the Canadian market, right? And that's, you have to respect that.
Yeah.
Right. Somebody's put, and I don't want this to turn into me just like defending them, but I understand the reality of a small machine shop trying to crank out a lot of rifles that are perfect. It's just not possible. Right. Yeah. And at the price point they are, it's the price point is probably losing money right now, to be honest.
Yeah. So there is that, just to, you know, for folks listening to remember, it's really easy to crap on those things. And Lord knows I do with the WKs, but still, you know, we do have to have at least some level of appreciation for anybody that's willing to throw their hat into that ring. Cause you know, you never know when that's going to change.
I was really proud when I won PCC Nationals that I did it with like a Canadian rifle, Canadian optic, Canadian ammo. Like it was, I was really proud of that, that, you know, even in the political climate that we're in right now, we're able to do that. That's, that's amazing. That's amazing to me. And once that, once things are back to normal or better than back to normal, because I'm very optimistic about that, I'm still going to run this thing. I'm not going to sell this and go buy a JP5. I love this gun. It runs great.
I'm really, really curious as far as like other folks that were running things, just within like that kind of top or upper echelon, if you will, was there anybody running anything that wasn't very AR or as close to AR?
Wasn't very AR.
Like, well, what did you see in the top echelon? What were people running? You were running the Raven.
It
was kind of a, it was kind of a flip flop of last year, because in last year the top. Okay, so I had the Raven, and then second place ran an FX9, and then third place ran another Raven, and then there was a Ruger. And I think this year it was kind of the same, except the Ruger was switched with an SPC9. So you saw less Rugers, more SPC9s.
Yeah.
About the same amount of FX9s, and then the same amount of Ravens.
It's the safety. I love my Ruger, but I hate that safety with my heart.
And most people who shot it, oh, I'm sorry, I'm just trying to bring up the scores from Nationals so I can actually see who shot what. But most people who shot the Ruger, they had it fully decked out. Everything was, I always forget the name of the company that does all
Tandem
the aftermarket stocks.
Tandem Cross. Stuff.
It was all Tandem Cross parts, right? nobody who did well shot a stock Ruger, right?
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, nobody who did well shot a stock Raven either, or a stock SPC. Everyone who's doing really well is doing something to their gun.
But that's going to be true for any sport, right? Like you're not going to roll into a racetrack with a bone stock car and think that you're going to do well either, right? It doesn't matter what sport you are. You're going to put money into your equipment to make it, you know, a level where you can operate with other folk.
I bet there's nothing correlation.
I bet that's a lot of correlation. I bet that the best shooters mod their stuff, but I bet you I could put this in Taylor's hands and he would stomp everyone in my local three gun manager or whatever. Right? Yeah.
If I had the time to train, I would probably shoot it within 10% of how I shoot my Raven. Right. And that's the same with like, if I shot production optics with a stock Glock and just a dot, right. Mm-hmm. It would probably be about the same. Right. But there's nothing wrong with that either. Like if you take this sport seriously and you are operating within the rules, why wouldn't you change things to make it easier for you? Right. Like I see a lot of guys who are like, oh, I take a lot of pride in just taking a gun out of the box and going to shoot it. And then you see them going to war on like a paper target at 15 yards. I'm like, you could have made this so much easier for yourself. And I never advocate like gear chasing, replacing your gun every time you do badly, but like you need gear that works, right? And you need gear that's appropriate for what you're doing, right? And honestly, this PCC, there's not much I would change if this was like a, you know, if I was American, this was a home defense PCC. There's really not much I would change about it, which is I think pretty cool.
I got another question on the ammo. So are you running the same ammo as your pistol, or is there like a, do you want to shoot heavier ammo in your PCC or?
Yeah, it's identical. FH Munitions has been, they kind of did a little bit of a trial batch right before Handgun Nationals of choosing a different bullet manufacturer, and they dropped the powder charge a little bit. So that was a little bit different, but for the last 2 years, I've ran the exact same ammo in the PCC and handgun, and it's, granted, it's hot. Like I make about, even with the short barrel, I make about 150 power factor with that PCC. Whereas most of the guys in USPSA who are at the top would tell you, you want to ride 130 to 132 And that is a really nice PCU to shoot. And they're right. But it's kind of, again, what I was talking about before, the level of competition I'm shooting at in Canada, I don't need to tune that ammo down to 130 power factor to get that little bit of an edge. I can shoot factory ammo out of this and still be fine. And it's reliable and it's accurate. And that's all I care about. Now, when we go to the world shoot next year, we might be reconsidering that. But for now, like it's, yeah. What are we at? 12,000 rounds now. And I've not had a single issue that's ammo related. So that's a huge thing psychologically to know that your gear is running. It's like, it's so many people underestimate having gear that runs. It's just a huge load off your shoulders. You can just focus on the match. You're not thinking, oh, is this going to be a light strike? Oh, is this going to feed properly?
Yep. Yeah. I've seen some three gun matches where, the rifle, it's always the rifle. My rifle is more reliable than everyone else's up until recently.
It's always reliable.
Why? What are you running?
I was running an WSMCR. I am no longer running a WSMCR.
Oh no.
Oh, no. Now it's a Raven.
Oh really?
But on the positives, yeah. Well, like I was asking you about, like, should I go gold? Should I go platinum? You didn't reply right away, and I'm like super impatient. I bought the gold, and you're like, go platinum. I'm like, too late. But I stuck my AR barrel on it, and oh man, I missed that barrel. It's so accurate. Mm-hmm. I shot a bunch of junk ammo, Tula, Barnall, XM193, Green Tip. It all shoots same point of aim. Same point of aim. It all shoots into the same. The Green Tip's a little bit less accurate. The XM193, one MOA or less. Oh,
How nice is that? It's so nice to have that, you know, that back. That's how I felt when I built my 5.56 Raven. I was like, I'm getting a good barrel. And I go out there and I shot it. And I'm like, oh, this feels so good to have an accurate rifle again.
Accurate and reliable, and the ergos aren't garbage.
It's a thing that we take for granted, just knowing that whatever you feed it, it'll run with and be accurate.
You limit it.
You know, not crap parts out out the gun.
We had squibs in PCCs at Nationals. We had out of battery detonations. We had like triple feeds. It was just it was a mess. I was standing there with a squib rod in my hand as a CRO, just okay. Another one's coming,
just in case. Yeah,
it's just a matter of time. Yeah.
Now, was Melody running Gear Raven as well?
She is. She actually just walked back into the house. She's sleeping around the corner. she runs the Raven as well. That's one reason why you see my compensator on it. It's not timed for a lefty to kind of cheat the up and left muzzle, like muzzle rise. Do you want to come sit
down? Yeah, you're sure.
Your pressure
comes about you. It's still Kelly. In here, bud.
Hello.
So congrats to the both of you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, she runs the same PCC, same setup.
Yeah, I don't have my own, so.
Put all the money in one, make it the best.
Might as well.
Yeah.
It's even more justifiable to spend that money if you're both using the same gear, because then you just like cut the value in half, right? Rather than have to like, it's cheaper, basically.
Yeah.
We talked earlier about building another Raven, and then when she saw what I spent to build the 5.56, she's like, can this just be our rifle?
We'll buy some extra mags so we can have to bomb. Yeah. That's about it.
I mean, no, PCC was kind of like an impulse decision, too. Like, it was like 2 weeks before Nationals. Like,
Come on, shoot.
You want to shoot it?
Just come shoot it.
All right.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, you're both excellent shooters. And obviously, you know, you're shitting together, sharing the same rifles. Yeah. Super, super impressed with.
If only she was left-handed.
Your results.
If only you were normal.
Well. You know, like having a lefty and a righty is really nice. I go hunting with a lefty, and boy, it's nice because one of us is like we're walking down the trail. One of us holding a rifle like that. The other one's got the rifle like that on the other side.
Yeah, you got like both angles. Yeah,
it's awesome.
I
finally got an actual hunting rifle, and it's the first gun I've ever bought in my life that's actually left-handed. And it's like a T1X, and I went to work that bolt.
Nice.
And I've always worked a bolt with my right hand because I'm, you know, and it was so weird. It's so weird running a proper hand. Never done it before.
Return it, go buy a right-handed one.
Yeah. I'll sell that, thanks.
Yeah, cool.
It's great. Yeah,
well, thanks for coming on and letting us know about your opinion on competition PCCs. So the... high point, probably not the right one to go with, but yeah, you definitely.
I want to see you shoot it.
Through some...
I still want to see you shoot it.
Maybe. But I have to get a bunch of mags for it. I was thinking about cutting the mag well out to fit 1911 9mm mags because I have a pile of those. Ooh. And those will hold 10 rounds. And then maybe. Yeah. Then maybe.
Yeah, give it to Tristan LaBelle.
He would probably do it for me. I tried putting a brake on it, and the threading was not concentric, so it struck the baffling on the brake. So I can't put a brake on it.
That's the most high point thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's very high point. Yeah. But maybe Tristan will be able to machine it out. I'll have to ask him. Hey, you want a project? I don't care if you wreck it. Just give it a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not even worth the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, you've got to really meme it out, though. Some colorful anime girls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You do like a water transfer wrap.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the way to go. Definitely.
I'll do it as my first and only water transfer wrap, and I'll do a really crap job of it. Lots of very bright colors.
They got to be bright colors.
And yeah. Right now it's black. It's boring. Yeah, cool.
All right.
Well, thanks, Taylor. I'll probably reach out to you privately later on with more questions.
Yeah, I want to see your shoot PCC.
Yeah, well, I gotta get it together. I got nationals in October. I'm gonna try and make it too. So
nice. Oh, they've got USPSA.
Yeah,
where is it?
Talladega.
Talladega. When is it?
Yeah, come on down. It's I think it's like third weekend in June, or not June, October.
That's very not June.
Oh, that's when your mom's born. I'm also in school, so that would be very irresponsible.
No go.
Yeah, it's the weekend of the 19th.
19th. Hey? Mm-hmm. Is registration still open?
I believe so.
You guys really should go for a trip.
I don't think we can take this to the U.S. I think it's an NFA 16. Item, right?
Yeah. It's a like, SBR.
So is it even possible?
No, because that's an SBR. You need a tax stamp for that. You will not get. Man. You got to put a 16-inch barrel on that.
Ah, well, see, that's another thing.
Or. What's your overall length with your comp on there?
Oh, with the barrel? Oh, well, it's you still said like that's 14.5.
Yeah, I was going to say, you said that was a 10-inch barrel. So, yeah, it'd be...
Yeah, it's a 10.5. That's another thing we didn't actually
stock out.
Is
pin or weld the comp on there. So a lot of guys will run like a 14.5 and weld their comp on there.
Yeah. So that's one thing we didn't talk about building a PCC, because it doesn't really apply to Canada, but a few of the guys that we shoot with on the Alberta Gold team, they went with one of those Brecky comp. They're like a 6-inch compensator. The first 2.5 inches is a comp, and then it's just like a cage, and they pin and weld it in case they ever want to go to the US.
Yeah.
So So they'd be fine. It doesn't matter here in Canada. It's still a 10 and a half inch barrel, but man, I should have done it. I think I can just borrow one of their uppers.
You could. Yeah, same as
it, it would look a little weird.
Shit.
Yeah. Cool.
Peer pressure.
Yep.
Yeah, peer pressure.
Come down the weekend before for New Mexico sectionals.
Oh, man. Had a lot of shooting this season. A lot.
Can always be more.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
We're just over halfway through the year, so there's got to be more.
Well, maybe down there you are. Here it's like, have you seen outside? I guess you can't see outside. It's this gorgeous Calgary day. Oh, that's just glare. It's been like 50 kilometer an hour wind gusts and just pouring rain, 10 degrees. It's awesome.
Yeah, that sounds...
Fall is coming.
Yeah.
Fall is here. Yeah. Cool.
All right. Well, I'll pressure you offline a bit more here, but thanks for coming on and going over all that.
Don't take any more of your time. Yeah, of course. Happy to be on. I love to see you guys.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for letting me go. You guys are always fun.
Thanks again to Taylor for coming on and going through PCCs. Yeah. Let's get into emails. Oh, we got a long one here from our friend Tony. Dustin, do you want to read this email from Tony?
Come on.
Tony, I'm going to write you an email the next time I'm not on.
That's awesome.
Good evening, Slamfire Radio. Tony is on vacation this week to visit Freedom temporarily. Oh, right, he's down in the States. I forgot about that. I will try to demonstrate the Freedom on the Slamfire Discord. Last Sunday, I attended an IPSC match at Canascus.
Canonaxis, yeah. Good job.
Canonaxis. Unwashed KG's masses.
I've been out here way too long. KGAC range, and it was my first competition away from my home range. To be honest, I didn't feel too different. Lots of familiar faces made it less stressful. Always does. And of course, I am racing against the best of the best, Canadian PCC and handgun champion Taylor. Oh,
there you go.
KGAC is a pretty awesome range comparing to the more industrial BTSA. It gives the vibe of a campground instead. I like that. But thanks to the grassy and wooded areas, the mosquitoes were vicious. Typo blood over here. Made a rookie mistake on stage one. Got a dead optic, which it was unexpected as the battery was swapped out less than 3 months ago. Hey, there's, again, more stories.
There's a common theme going
over here. I love this. Since it was a short course of fire with close targets, I decided to shoot it with my Hempus backup iron sights. No mics, so I would consider that a good result. Yeah, so yeah. That's well done. Mm-hmm. The Vortex UH-1 is awesome for co-witness as the glass panels are flat, so they are easy to use with backup irons. Absolutely. More on the Freedom vacation. I am traveling with friend S, a future Canadian firearms owner, to visit friend G, a current U.S. firearms owner in Michigan. Both I've mentioned on the show before. Again, you'll see some exclusive content on the Slamfire Discord. Shout out to Mr. She and Mr. Gao. It should be an awesome trip. Too bad the Freedom is temporary. No, I don't get to carry a pistol when I'm in Michigan due to permit requirements. See you next week, Tony.
Oh, it's cool. Like he was here.
All right.
Yeah. Well, I hope he's having fun in Michigan.
I don't think he's going to be able
to. I'm sure he will.
I don't know if he's going to be able to do the YouTube comments live, though.
Yeah. Kyle, you want to do those?
I got him pulled up.
You got him? Go for it.
Okay, so first comment, was the September 1st Sherwood Park being canceled? We got CCFR TV saying Amanda with clap hands. And then Eddie, of course, filling in for Tony, adding to his normal barrage of comments, is Kyle, that Desert Tech Quattro Magwell looks like it's gaping. It's like, yes, it is. Says Dustin, regarding buying a Garand for a semi-auto 308, getting Garand Thumb doesn't seem too likely or so bad. Garand Thumb's channel posted a video where he intentionally gave himself Garand Thumb repeatedly.
Ew. Why?
Because he could, so I guess.
Why?
It's harder. It's harder to do than you think it is.
I know.
When you press it down, it locks it in place when you press it all the way down. So all you're gonna do is get your thumb out of the way.
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah.
A couple more from Eddie here. Congratulations to Amanda. CCFR should post your city news interview on their YouTube channel. And then our last YouTube comment is Tony. Once the handgun ban is repealed, I'm sure Adriel will sell you one for a handsome profit.
That is correct.
Awesome. And while you're doing that, I updated that Sherwood Park event on 3gen.ca. So it's actually accurate now. We've been going through comments as we've been kind of talking here. Are there any that we missed? Adam asked, will anyone be at TACOM? And Mike Hynek will be there at TACOM as our Slamfire Radio correspondent. Russell's saying, time to take up a collection for Kelly so she can get a better string and tin because her internet is bad.
Yeah. You know,
need to get her fiber.
Or like, you want to just get a Starlink? Like, just stick it in the backyard and guarantee that you have some internet connectivity.
Weird. Yeah, the Starlink wasn't
because she's in the middle of nowhere, right? That she needs a Starlink.
That's exactly
what it was good for.
Yeah.
Well, before I moved down, that's what I was running.
I'm in the middle of the city.
But you were truly in the middle of the
Like, we have running water and flushing toilets here. We should be able to have.
It's really modern times there, huh? Just no internet.
All fancy with your running water.
All the fancy internet is out north of the 401 in your
or west.
Yeah.
In Alberta, I guess. Yeah.
BC. Yeah. We've got it all plugged into this house. I could share some, but it'd be a long cord.
All right. Nothing on Facebook, Instagram, Discord. We've been commenting and talking to people over there. Cabela's and Brownell's link. We'll do that at the next show. Thanks to our supporters on Patreon and Player. If you'd like to email the show, send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Shout outs and recommendations. Anyone?
Yeah.
You can just jump in here. We don't need to like call people out.
Oh, that's fair. I'm going to shout out my mom, who is still watching. Hi, Mom. I love you. And if you are still watching, take one of my guns out and go shoot it for me, please. And yeah, that's the only shout out. I sent her the link when she texted me at the start. She's like, are you busy? And I'm like, well, I'm sort of streaming right now. So I just sent her the link and she's like, I'll watch. So
that's awesome. Does she have her pal?
Yeah, she's got her RPAL.
Cool.
Yeah, she's got a bunch. They've got a bunch of my guns too, so she's got no excuse to not go shoot guns. Go shoot guns, Mom.
Hi, Destin's mom. I have a bunch
of guns at my parents' place.
I have all my guns. I'm going to give a shout out to Joel, who helped us out with the calendar shoot. A lot of different locations. So thank you very much. And I'm going to give a shout out to this really cool guy. He's not going to listen. His name's Gord. He's 82 years old. He is a 7-time national plane stunt champion. Wow. 82. He just retired like literally last year. He's even written a book, and the book's coming out, and I'm going to get him to sign it. It's an amazing thing. And we were talking about all kinds of things. He's ex-military, obviously, Air Force. We were talking about all the bases we've been to in common. And then he was talking about the crashes he's had, and he's got pictures and documents. And I said, tell me about the crash. He goes, which one?
How many of these things have you had to jump out of?
the last one when he went skydiving for the first time ever, and you'd think that he would have skydived before then, but at 80, because he's a pilot, right? He went tandem skydiving, but that's also when he had his last crash as well. I don't know if that was coincidence or
you're supposed to make sure there's a pilot still in the plane before you jump out of it.
So it was really cool. We used his plane as part of the photo shoot. And I also wanted to give a huge shout out to all of the help, the organizers of the Lower Trent Valley. So Nick Soper's and Dave Landles from Lower Trent Valley for the Ladies' Day, and then everybody who came out and helped. We had, I believe it was 75 or 80 volunteers who came out to help. People that were just volunteering. The CCFR, as I said, we were sponsors for the event, and we brought our all of our team slash women came in and descended upon Lower Trent Valley as we do every year. And then I also wanted to give a huge, huge, huge shout out to Uncle Phil from Odell Engineering Limited and the amazing and so much fun day we had on Monday. It was fantastic, and I'm looking forward to it for next year. I've already pre-booked the Lower Trent Valley date because it's confirmed again. And then I am also going to be going to Odell because why not? You get to shoot all kinds of cool guns. So yeah. That's it. That's it for me.
For me, Shirley, my co-instructor for the Bonneville event, she did great. And nice. Yeah, it was fantastic working with her.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Aww.
I'll shut up the Roswell guys. Once again, putting on a good match. And let cool. me reshoot once I got a working dot.
Nice.
Very nice. Very of them. Nice.
Finally, join our Discord server. We do all sorts of chatting over there. We post photos of things going on midweek over there. Watch us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Player. Join the CCFR, and we'll see you next week. Later, everyone.
Hey.
Good night, Kelly.
Okay.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.